And grace, all of your burdens and gifts of praise, come lay them down in this place. For his arm is mighty and his love will endure. His plan is perfect, his victory is sure. And his anger is righteous, but his grace is free. Oh, what a Savior is he. What a Savior is he.
Good morning and welcome to worship. It's good that we can be together once more. We begin with a prayer. Lord, we worship you as one body, but also through a personal encounter with you. Meet with each of us personally today and bless us as we sing our praises, say our prayers, and reflect on your message for us. Amen.
Thank you. We come to God with our prayers. Let us pray. Lord our God, you do not change. You are always with us and you always will be. We praise and thank you for your greatness, which holds our smallness, for your majesty, which was once clothed with our humanity, for your sovereignty, which embraces our frailty, for your holiness that exposes our sinfulness, for your wholeness which heals our brokenness, for your glory which fills our emptiness, for your love which gives us life, for your Son who claims us for his own, for your Spirit who empowers us for worship, witness and service. Lord of all time and space and all things, we praise you that in Christ you came and shared all that life means to us, so that we, by your grace, may enter into a fuller relationship with you. Lord, we are only too well aware that we are not the people you meant us to be. We are not living the kind of life that you created us to live, and our words and thoughts and deeds are not bringing you the glory they were designed to do. Forgive us, Father, for the way that through our plans and dreams and choices we damage your world, we hurt each other, and we create a barrier between ourselves and you. We ask that you will not only forgive us, but that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will cleanse and renew us. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
We say together the prayer that Jesus gave us.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
Thine is the kingdom,
power and the glory,
for ever and ever. Amen.
Our reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. Peter says that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus went to the area of Caesarea Philippi. There he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah. Still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. No mere human showed this to you. My Father in heaven showed it to you. Here is what I tell you. You are Peter. On this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell will not be strong enough to destroy it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What you lock on earth will be locked in heaven. What you unlock on earth will be unlocked in heaven." Then Jesus ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We want to praise the wonders of your mighty name.
So, as I set out to prepare a reflection about my calling to ordained presbyteral ministry, my challenge is to dig deep, to make it personal. I've been advised that Bolton Circuit Meeting and the candidates' committees want to know all about me in terms of my personal discovery of Jesus. They don't want me to tell them just what has happened to me. They want to hear most of all about how Jesus has been actively involved. Focus on Jesus, they say, and your encounters with him. Well, today's passage tells us that Peter arrives at the moment of his own personal discovery of who Jesus is. It's almost as if Peter hadn't truly met him yet. Not until this point. After an intensive time of basic training with some work experience out in the villages, as well as witnessing some jaw-dropping miracles, Peter comes to a point where he discovers that he believes that Jesus is far beyond any human category. Peter sees Jesus for who he is and says so for all to hear. Others have tried to say who he is, as the passage tells us, but their attempts fell short. Napoleon once said, "I know men, and Jesus was more than a man." And Peter expresses this as, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." These were terms he could just about cope with, an attempt to name the unnameable. Peter's upbringing as a Jew would have probably have meant that he knew what Christ and living God meant, but it's only at this point that he can bring the two terms together to boldly declare what no man has declared before: Jesus is the Christ. Now, that's a word that comes from Greek and which has the same meaning as Messiah in Hebrew, the anointed one, the one who will be king. He's also the Son of God, or God in human form, and it's this declaration from Peter that Jesus himself says can only have come from God the Father. And this is why Jesus pronounces his blessing over him. So this was Peter's God moment, saying something that nobody else could have told him. From my experience, whenever Christians give their testimony, there's always an element of personal discovery. There is an encounter with something beyond human understanding. There's that moment of transformation or redirection that can only have come from God. Jesus' question to us today, as it was for Peter, is, "You, what do you think of me?" Now, the writer William Barclay summed it up like this: Christianity is always about knowing Jesus rather than knowing about him. Has Jesus touched your life in a way that you can't attribute to any other source? In that sense, have you met with him? Do you feel you know him? Now, as a sixth form student, I spent 2 years seeking proof from my Christian friends. Yep, I had been to church, a Methodist since birth, but I hadn't had that sense of personal discovery at any point. I'd learnt a lot about the Bible and about the stories of Jesus, but I hadn't, in any sense, met him. At that point, I was pursuing a description of Jesus in purely human terms, a bit like the people were doing at the time of our passage. I was still searching for proof. I then went to university, but found myself like a boat without a rudder. And I ended up spending my student grant money on gambling machines. I was hooked, and I was really struggling inside. One day, I got into conversation with a pair of Christian friends in my accommodation block. That night, they invited me to pray with them. Now, you have to remember that this was me demanding proof and asking as many awkward questions as I could think of. And they were very patient. We began to pray, and suddenly I found myself asking God, no, crying out to God, to help me. Now, the psalmist describes a similar moment in his own life. "But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears." That's Psalm 18, verse 6. All I can remember is realising that I was in floods of tears. And when I opened my eyes, I saw the two friends wearing broad grins. They knew what had happened. I had had my first personal discovery of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus meaning God is my salvation. Christ meaning anointed as King in my life. And Son of the living God meaning for me the one who transformed my life beyond my understanding. From that point on, any urge to use a gambling machine had gone in an instant. I'd been healed of that addiction. From that point on, when I read my Bible, it was like it was in a different language. I began to really understand it. I had a frame of reference now. I'd encountered Jesus. I'd met him in the most personal of ways. Jesus convinced me that night that he does indeed pass all understanding. For me, my personal discovery marked a beginning, as Peter's did for him. I went on to study the Bible in a new light, eventually to preach and to serve God as a lay pastor. The church is founded on the kind of faith that Peter showed. His was the spark to the flame, the impulse which began the worldwide church of which we are a part today. Peter was the first man on earth to discover who Jesus was, the first to make that step of faith which saw in Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter was the first member of the church, the first stone to be laid, the rock on which Jesus would build his church. And so, over the ages, the stones have been added to the building of the church of God. These stones are people who have encountered Jesus for themselves, either at a particular moment in time or gradually over the years, and who believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so to today, how do you see Jesus? Do you know him? Or have you just heard about him? Can you describe your personal discovery of him? Is it a lifelong thing for you? Or can you pinpoint one moment in time? How would you respond to Jesus' question, "Who do you say I am?" Amen.
Thank you. spent and worthless now compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my hope, nothing less. You're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you more.
Now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you, and known as yours, to possess.
Thank you for joining with us to worship this morning, and as we do, we may not physically be able to dedicate our monetary gifts to God, but we will do that now anyway. So let us dedicate all we have and all we give into God's service. You tell us to go when we would rather stay. You tell us to share when we would rather keep what we have. You tell us to grow when we would rather be still. You tell us to risk when we would rather be safe. O Lord, find the weak chinks in our armour and open us to the ways of your loving Spirit, who moulds and reshapes us into the people you would have us be. Willing and open, humble and true to your way of love in your world. Amen.
Jesus is Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with our prayers for others. As the pandemic shifts across the world, so hurting from the scale of its impact. Pour your love on our world of suffering, caused by man-made conflict or neglect, by inexcusable poverty, intolerable violence, and the inexorable consequences of our changing climate. We pray for the churches of all nations, altered forever, reshaped, reformed, reimagined in ways we could not have foreseen. Thank you for the faith we have experienced in action in our communities, small acts of kindness offered with great love. We stand together with compassion as we reach out to our neighbours near and far. We ask your blessing on all those who are working so hard to care for our church families and our leadership teams as they plan ahead. We give thanks for those who work tirelessly in our health and social care systems, in hospitals, residential care, and at home. Give them your comfort in times of weariness and distress, and let them have rest. We pray for the charities and agencies in Bolton who are driven to make a difference to the most vulnerable in our neighbourhoods and the far-reaching impact of their work and service. We pray for those who have lost loved ones and are unable to gather to commemorate their passing and share in their collective grief. And for those who are poorly, with recovery uncertain. We ask your blessing on the lonely and disconnected, those behind closed doors whose voices are not heard, who are anxious about matters of health, of family, of relationships, of finance, of work or its lack, and in fear of what the future might hold. We ask your healing on the education of our children as they return to school, and your blessing on all young people whose dreams and plans are fulfilled or disrupted or uncertain. We trust they will be sustained by your loving spirit and your unfailing support. Finally, we pray for our private concerns, for those we hold close in our hearts and minds. And for all those who have been called to this time of worship and prayer, through your love that knows no bounds and that gives us hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We offer them all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus stands and asks, "Who do you say I am?" We join with millions who have gone before and say, "You are the Messiah." Jesus stands in front of us and tells us the realities of discipleship. We join millions who have gone before us in the challenges of living our lives as disciples. Jesus stands before us and offers food and drink for the journey. Fed and nourished, we go out into the world to live and serve. Jesus stands before us, shining in glory, and will be with us to the end of the age. Thanks be to God. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
He took the 20 points at the intermediate sprint after 61 kilometres, stuck around to do a turn on the inside of the Tourmalet, and that was pretty much his job done for the day. Now the group disintegrated on the Tourmalet and 2 minutes went away.
Lift your minds to the Lord your God. He will fulfill all your needs. Seek his wisdom, attend his words, follow wherever he leads. For his arm is mighty and his love will endure. His plan is perfect, his victory is sure. His anger is righteous, but his grace is free. Oh, what a savior is he. Yes, his arm is mighty and his love will endure. His plan is perfect, his victory is sure. And his anger is righteous, but his grace is free. Oh, what a savior is he. Oh, what a savior is he.